Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. God only knows why. Welcome to it.
And Luke Costello.
I can't even see you.
Governor Chris Christie is trying to help us here because he's on the Trump train. So we have Scott Bach
he's
here.
He's pulling the Trump train?
Yes, is what we have. He's trying to get to the food car in the Trump train. And we have Sherry here from Second Amendment Women and a few other guests, too, who will introduce themselves in a later on segment. One's icing her head and the other one's licking her wounds or something. I don't know what happened before I got here. But
Attorney Scott Bach, who just happened to drive 2 hours to be in the neighborhood
again. I know. His handsome cab is waiting outside for him. Scott, tell us what's going on. Let's get rid of smart guns first. Let's talk about not so smart guns. What did the governor do?
Well, he vetoed Senator Loretta Weinberg's attempt to swap one mandate for another on smart guns. Okay, we all know that the end game on smart guns is to use technology as an excuse to ban guns. They tipped their hands on that in 2002, and the anti-gun movement nationally is all upset because they tipped their hand, and now the technology, there's no interest in it, so it's not developing. So Loretta's been under pressure to do something about her law. And so the obvious thing that she should have done is just cleanly repealed it. Say, okay, you know, that thing that says that every conventional handgun gets banned once there's a smart gun and all you can buy is a smart gun, just repeal it. But no, she couldn't do that. What she did is she put in a bill that says, well, we're gonna repeal that, but we're gonna require every dealer to carry and sell at least one, which translated means they're trying to rig the market. They're trying to develop a market, obviously, because they're going to be back with their law. And, you know, so the game is remove the mandate, compel or rig a market for it, and then bring the mandate back, possibly even nationally.
And, you know, it's funny, to trigger this, somebody has to start selling at retail. I can only think of offhand one range dumb enough in the state of New Jersey that would probably sell it. The rest of us would probably show solidarity.
Yeah.
Correct?
Probably.
Correct. So the last year, you would hope. So the last year and a half, last session and then this session, Senator Weinberg's had this bill that swaps one mandate for another, okay? And so we've opposed it because it's obvious what the end game is. And so what Governor Christie did was he exercised his power of veto to do what's known as a conditional veto. A governor could do a couple of things when a bill hits his desk. He can sign the bill. He can absolute veto it, which means it's dead on arrival, or he can do something called a conditional veto, which means he gets to rewrite it as he wants it and sends it back to the legislature. And if they accept what he wrote, it becomes the law immediately.
Which they're not going to.
Well, it remains to be seen. It's definitely going to be an uphill fight. But so what he did was he rewrote her bill to remove the new mandate and make it a clean repeal of the old mandate, which is what it should have been in the first place. I mean, just think about this for 1 second. Nobody's opposed to new technology, right? There's lots of people who would want to own smart gun technology if it were not being co-opted and abused for the purpose of banning conventional guns. I mean, that's what it represents to the anti-gun movement. It's a great sounding excuse, a great soundbite, and a great way for them to find another justification to ban guns.
Now, the smart gun technology, does that work, too, if you're a felon? So it knows that you're a felon?
No.
So you can't use it to commit any kind of crime, which would reduce crime.
I call it a not-so-smart gun.
They don't care about felons using guns. They only care about law-abiding citizens using guns.
Well, evidence for Newark and Camden, then.
Right. Sherry, would you trust a smart gun?
No.
We can't hear you, Sherry.
No.
Okay, thank you. Scott, so not so smart guns, as I referred to them as. So how much work did you do in behind the scenes with Darren and everybody to get this to where it is?
Listen, a lot is the short version of it, that and the carry thing. And we're not done yet. But, I mean, consider what's been going on and what Governor Christie has done. I mean, this is Well, I mean, we'll get to the carry thing in a minute.
You could, whenever you're ready.
Well, I mean, listen, it's unprecedented. I mean, Christie has, he's the first governor in state history to veto gun control. First one to do it. But now, you know, on smart guns, it was not...
Not you. I'm yelling at Sherry. Go ahead. I need her project.
Anthony is gesticulating wildly in the studio.
We're trying to figure out what this means.
Do I need to run? Do I need to leave? Do
she
I need to get on the table?
Did you know what it meant?
Yes.
Unfortunately, he is between us and the door, so yeah. We have a problem here.
Go ahead.
So look, you know, on smart guns, listen, obviously the governor is not going to empower the national gun ban movement, because if you know, Loretta's bill is actually very clever because she's baiting us with this repeal. Who wouldn't want it repealed? Oh, now she gets to say, oh, we, you know, Governor Christie killed the repeal. But the thing is, he didn't. What he did was he killed an attempt to undermine and to bring in smart guns nationally. And so now on right to carry, this is huge. Okay. Because
really tell us the deal. Define everything for us here, because there's a lot of BS out there. Well, no, because it's hard to understand. I mean, I read the veto. I read everything. Well, I read the ANJRPC report, but I want to hear it from you.
Well,
that's why you were invited.
Here's the backstory, okay? Just to set the stage for this, you'll recall that Governor Christie's commission last year recommended an incremental improvement in right to carry. We've talked about it on the show several times, and the state police acted on that, and this April promulgated regulations to implement that. It would have added people... to the list of who's qualified to get a carry permit, it would have people facing serious threats would have been added to that list. The other two categories being people who have been attacked and people who have verifiable specific threats against them. Small improvement. We all know the legislature, the antis in the legislature went crazy when that came out, and they invoked this constitutional procedure, which we talked about at length last time I was
on. They don't want us serfs to have guns, what it comes down to.
That's exactly what it comes down to. And so they invoke this procedure or are attempting to invoke this procedure in the Constitution where the legislature can kill a regulation, right?
Hold it right there.
Okay.
You better enunciate this properly in the next segment or you're out and the ladies are in.
For 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. If you or anyone you know is within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, New Jersey, check out Waldorf Chiropractic. If not, send your friends and family or send them a thank you or give them a positive review on one of those online sites. Scott, hit us.
So look, this is a big in your face to the legislature from the governor. That's what this carry thing is about. And just to set the stage, you know, the state police were trying to implement the governor's recommendation for a small improvement in right to carry. And the legislature went into histrionics, invoked this this arcane procedure in the state constitution to attempt to invalidate it. And they know that's a flawed attempt. And so, again, I'm going to skip the long explanation, but they introduced this bill to take the current regulatory definition of justifiable need and cement it in place for all time into state statute. And that's the bill that the governor just conditionally vetoed. So not only did he kill their attempt to manufacture legislative intent and to cement this standard that deprives everyone from right to carry forever, not only did he veto that, but he went one further and said, oh yeah, you're gonna not even implement this tiny improvement? Well, guess what? I'm gonna rewrite your bill so that not only we're going to change it around completely, so, and call for shall issue right to carry. So in other words, no more justifiable need. What the governor essentially did in his conditional veto was to propose the elimination of justifiable need altogether in the requirements to qualify for a carry permit. And what that means as a practical matter is that would create, if that happened, if the legislature accepts that condition, it would create shall issue right to carry in New Jersey.
And the odds of that happening?
Well, the seas will part before that.
It's an uphill fight. But this conditional veto is going to be hanging over the legislature for the next year and a half, okay, until the session ends or until they act on it. And we are going to make the most of it in that time. Obviously, we are going to make an effort at convincing the legislature to do that. But more importantly, I mean, let's just talk about what's behind this, right? We talked about the wake of Orlando. The government can't protect you, okay? And those who are not prepared or who are blocked from protecting themselves are being set up for slaughter. We're in an era where the government should be encouraging its citizens to become empowered. It should be empowering them, not blocking self-defense. Yeah, and exactly. What the Jersey legislature is doing, what the anti-gun Democrats in the State House are doing is actively interfering in the post-Orlando era. And we know Orlando is just the beginning. And so we are going to shine the spotlight of attention on that. It is so clear and so obvious and so wrong what they are doing. How do you justify creating victims instead of empowering citizens? And that's exactly what this legislature is doing. They are so dug in to their antiquated medieval position, okay, that it's going to be their undoing eventually, because the harder they cling to New Jersey's unconstitutional and unreasonable standard that prevents all meaningful self-defense, the more it's going to set it up for failure. But in the meanwhile, we now have the moral high ground, because they have the opportunity at every moment of every hour of every day, right now, they have the opportunity with a single vote to change things around and to stand up for empowering citizens.
Not going to happen.
Well, listen, who's to say what's going to happen and what's not going to happen? Would you have told me 7 years ago that the governor of the state of New Jersey would have been calling for shall issue carry? I agree, it's an uphill fight. I agree, if you look at the numbers, it seems like an impossibility. But in New Jersey, we deal with impossibilities all the time. And you know what? A lot of the time we overcome them. So I'm going to say, we have to put pressure on them, because I want that spotlight of attention on them constantly, because you know what? We're going to see more tragedies happen in this country, okay? Hopefully not in this state, but you know it's coming. And
our state is prime.
Listen, there has to be a moment of sea change. And there has to be a moment when people realize government can't block you from defending yourself. If the government can't protect you, and the government essentially abandons its obligation to protect you, as we know the U.S. Supreme Court has held many times. Police don't have any obligation to protect individual citizens. You're on your own. How dare they? How dare they block us from doing what they themselves have refused to do? That cannot stand. It will not stand. And we can be cynical and say, oh, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But I'm telling you, the right circumstances arise and the whole thing could switch.
So
now, let me just say, I'm not delusional. Okay. I'm a realist. I get the odds here. But this is an incredible moment in New Jersey history. Christie is the first governor to acknowledge shall issue carry and call for it. That is huge, and it's something we're going to get a lot of mileage out of for a very long time. And it's not about carry. It's about citizen empowerment versus citizen victimization, okay? And that's,
I wish we could make that point to the populace.
That's the point. We are. I mean, this puts the spotlight of attention on it. I can't tell you how many interviews I've done in the last few days and more that I have coming lined
up. Myself as well.
And this message is not about, I'm a gun owner, it's my constitutional right. It's, hey, everyone out there is at risk.
Right.
Okay, and our
because
government
that
is...
gun owner crap doesn't play well to the general populace.
Well, listen, the general public is scared. They saw what happened in Orlando. They saw what happened in California. They know it could happen again. And, you know, nobody in the press is saying anything about citizen empowerment. It's all like, oh, we're all just victims waiting for the next hammer to drop.
Yeah.
It's insane. We are primed for this message, and we're going to make the most of it. And we all need to use this moment to get that out there before the general populace, because this message will resonate with the general public. Again, it is not about, I want to carry a gun around. It's about, in an era of uncertainty and terror attacks on U.S. soil, government, get the hell out of my way. And if you're not going to protect me, let me do it myself. Everybody resonates with that message. The only people who don't resonate with that are extremists, far leftists, who want to eradicate private gun ownership for entirely different reasons, because it's inconsistent with their vision for America.
Yes, exactly.
So, Scott, I want to thank you for your efforts. I know there was a lot of behind the work that you had to do, but now how do New Jerseyans thank you, and what do we do to push this agenda and push this issue? We need some guidance.
Well,
tell us
right
now.
Right now, ANJRPC is calling for people to write to the legislature.
Can we hold you over to the other end of the break? We've got only got about five.
That's
seconds.
It's up to Anthony.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, and then we throw him out in the middle of the
right
segment.
Right in the middle of the segment.
Yes.
Wow, that's rude. We've done it before.
Yes,
but
he's
not
out.
To Scott.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports, so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff.
To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites. LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Ron Sousa has two locations, one on New Road in Parsippany and one in Montville. Please check out LibertyOfficeSuites.com. 70-person meeting room. He has offices, telephone answering, you name it. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional environment and get your butt out of the Panera or wherever else it has been, or your back of your mom's station wagon or minivan where you've been running your business. Loser. Look like a professional and check out LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Scott, tell us what we can do, what we have to do, and then go away. I want the ladies to come on.
Okay, short and simple. Right now, ANJRPC is calling for every gun owner to write to every member of the legislature. Their information is on our website. And basically demand that they accept Governor Christie's conditions on both bills. Agreed, it's an uphill fight, but we have to keep the pressure on them. We also have to keep the media spotlight on it. Number two.
Which is hard.
Well, but we'll do it. I mean, that we specialize in difficult here, okay? Number two is the message I just talked about, that message that resonates with the general public has to be spread. It's everyone's duty to talk to your friends, your family, every interview you can do, every online chat board you're in if you're a keyboard commander, okay? You got to put that out there. The general public is ripe for this message. We have to sustain that campaign. We all know, Sandy, I know you in particular understand, you know, the theories of how you get critical mass on an issue. This thing actually just, it accelerates us a little closer to critical mass, and it's our job to run with it. You can tell me it's impossible, and that's fine, but I can tell you if you just shut down and don't do anything because you think nothing's going to happen, nothing will happen. The only way to find out if we can take this and run with it is to actually do it. It's everyone's obligation to do it.
How much time do we have?
A year and a half. Year and a half before Governor Christie's term is up. This is going to be hanging out there.
Okay.
And listen, one way or another, sooner or later, possibly later, we're going to have right to carry in New Jersey, real right to carry. I'm not saying it's going to happen from this necessarily, but this is one of those things that we have to just keep pounding away at and you know, take every opportunity. This is an accelerator. This just takes the issue and puts it to a whole different level. It's ripe for it, and we're going to make the most of it, and we all need to do that.
From your mouth to God's ears. Scott, thank you for being on. Now get out. Amy,
goodbye.
Grab his headphones. You two guys are going to share this. Okay, we got the SAW group here. We're going to a couple of little introductions. Sherry Spivak, the ringleader for the Second Amendment Women, who meets at the Woodland Park Range a lot. Next to me is who? Speak up. I can't hear you.
Liz DeMauro.
Oh, you have a husband named Armand, don't you?
Yes.
Just
you're
checking.
Very familiar
just
with
checking.
Him. Armsco Weaponry.
Oh, look at that. A shameless plug. Sandy, edit that
bucks.
Out. 100 bucks. And who's this
I'll give
lovely?
You 200.
Nice.
200. Okay, that's good. 200
who's this
cash,
lovely lady with
please.
The concussion?
Amy Caselli.
Amy, and Amy's significant other is Matt Trimmer. So, Sherry, tell us a little bit about our group that we have hanging here.
Well, before we start, I just want to say that what Scott said really resonated with me. In our group, all the women in our group, and you guys can talk about it too, empowerment is definitely something that that resonates with all of our events, our firearms events and other events, so it's something I'm really going to share on our page. So the women in our group can really grasp that. What do you
okay.
guys think?
Yes.
I think it's important because right now you've got guys like Bloomberg who have just dumped about $25 million into media buys for the message that goes completely against that. You've got George Soros who dumped about $100 million into the same issue. So you've got big, big money and big players, but they cannot outdo us speaking to one another. Social interaction is still the best way to get our message across. Yes, you do.
You do have the voices. It's just mobilizing the voices.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you have a tight group of people that meet here in the SOAR group, and then you have fringe members, and then you have newbies coming in all the time. This is part of your tight group here, although I don't see Liz here that much, but I just wanted to bring that up. But I know she's always home doing something. So go ahead, continue to talk. I'm just going to follow while you guys lead.
I just want to say that what Scott was saying, the general public, I am part of the general public, actually. And I can see how I've changed my idea. So if I can change, I do see possibly it can change. I grew up without knowing anything about guns. My parents didn't own guns. We didn't have guns. When I met my husband, he was into guns and hunting and all that. So that's how I got familiar with guns. And about 3 years ago, when Anthony opened up Gun for Hire, that's how I started shooting, with my husband teaching me. And I enjoy it, and I liked it, and it was empowered. But I never thought of this right to carry. That just didn't affect me. And I always thought, well, if everybody's carrying, I don't know, that could be a scary thing. And I really believed that for the longest time. But unfortunately, today is not the same world that it was in the 70s.
No, it's not the same world as it was 5 years ago.
Yes, so that's what actually has changed my way of thinking, that, you know what, it's not the same world. People are crazy from either, you know, domestic terrorism, international. It's just scary.
It's not even the same world when you leave the borders of New Jersey.
Exactly.
That's what I found as I've gone, you know, to SHOT Show, and I've met people there from other states, and I've spoken to them, and I went out to Utah to take the CCW instructor course. I have friends in Florida, and we just kind of get used to what we have here in New Jersey.
Which is nothing.
Yes.
Which is nothing, but we don't realize.
We've been inculcated.
Promulgated, inculcated.
We've been brainwashed to accept mediocrity, or to accept the little slivers of rights we've been given here. And when you stop and think that this is the very ground we're standing right here, even Woodland Park, we are standing on the very ground where men and women died for this right.
Right.
They fought and died and bled on this soil to have it turn this bad in 200 years.
Yeah. Yes. Amy, talk to us. You haven't said anything yet. Amy has a concussion, but we're letting her speak anyway.
She's getting ready to, like, punch.
Is your helmet okay? Your helmet's on okay?
It's lovely.
Okay.
I want a pink one.
No, just stop.
Match your rifle. Yes.
Stop licking the windows, as Anthony says.
Talk to us, Amy. What about you? How does this affect you? Now, your significant other is a retired law enforcement officer, and he gets to carry all the time.
Yes, and I'm jealous.
You're pissed off and jealous,
I'm
right?
I'm pissed and jealous. Yes, I would love to be able to carry. I want to be able to carry. I can carry at my shop, but then I can't walk out with it. I have to pack it away and walk out to my car, and everybody
when
knows
you're most vulnerable.
Yes, we're most vulnerable, and everybody knows that. What's in that?
God forbid you forget.
Yep. She put her gun away. Okay, we're good.
Yep, she's got her gun away.
Doesn't that suck?
It does, and it's not fair.
It's definitely not fair, and but it's good that you can carry in your business, because you know your business. By the way, she cuts hair. She's a stylist. That's a vulnerable business to be in, because most transactions are probably small cash transactions.
Right.
Yes. Although people pay for a soda with credit card today, our vending machines here take Apple Pay and all kinds of electronic payment now.
Really do?
Yeah.
I'm a strictly cash business.
Oh, so
anyway. But it's all reported, of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's every penny
absolutely.
Of it. Yes,
yeah.
And you don't really make deposits every night or anything like that.
No. Okay. But see, you're very vulnerable. And that sucks.
Just helping out. There's only a million people on the other end of the microphone.
All right, you guys better start talking. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, Liz. Sherry, lead off. You're losing your group here,
okay.
Sherry.
All right. One of the things that you had asked me to talk about on the show today is I had posted an article on my Facebook page by a woman called The Survival Mom, who's someone that I have followed for a long time. And she posted an article, Women with Firearms, 23 Truths You Should Know. And there's a number of topics that she posted, which I think they're all good topics. I posted them all. There's a little controversy on a couple of them on my page, so maybe we'll talk about those and ask you guys' opinion about them.
Please, please.
But first, I just want to say one of the things that she has in here, which kind of relates to what we were talking about just a minute ago, is that she posts, your safety is your responsibility, not your husband's, not the police. And
I agree.
Kids. And that's something, you know, when
you women
limited.
You women don't want to rely on a man, right?
Right.
No.
I don't rely on a man anymore.
Well, and a man is
these waters are
around.
For you guys too, by the way. Everybody but
and
Sherry
can have
a water.
Something to fight for when we're talking about justifiable need and carry and that kind of thing in New Jersey, because it really limits your ability to do
correct.
Just that.
Yes. Correct. Correct.
So some of the other topics that are in here, one that did create a little bit of interest was she wrote that a lot of times women will be asked to start on a .22 caliber gun. And probably happens with other newbies too.
Yes.
But I find it a lot at events. Sometimes a guy will come with his wife or his girlfriend or his daughter and say, yeah, I'm bringing her. I'm dropping her off to you guys at your SAW meetup. And, you know, start her on a .22. I, for one, do not always start people on a .22. I have
neither do
my
I.
reasons. I took classes with you. Actually, you were my first step pistol instructor, Anthony. Charlie took me in the range, and I don't think I fired a .22 for probably a year and a half before I started shooting.
When you took class with me 100 years ago, it was 38 9mm.
That's right.
Yep. We're going to talk about this more when we come back.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
About our buddy down in Philly, Sandy, phillyguntraining.com, Jose Morales.
Jose
check
Morales.
Him out, phillyguntraining.com. So, Sherry, when you took lessons with Gun for Hire 100 years ago, you started with a 9mm and a 38. There was no .22. Because I don't even like to play with toys, to be honest. I think a .22 is good if somebody has an extreme fear of firearms. But good. So talk to us about your early experiences, and then the other ladies will share.
I just wanted to say also, I think there's different perspectives that you're coming from. People are coming in to rent. If you're doing a one-on-one instruction, I know with as an instructor, you know, you're assessing the student from the minute you have first contact with them, whether it's by email or when they walk into the classroom, and you're asking questions and you're getting to know them, and you're kind of figuring out is there fear on a normal level of anxiety the first time they're learning to shoot? Do they have any physical problems that might make it hard to shoot with the 9? I think 90% of the time people are okay to start on a 9. And I, like I said, I didn't shoot a .22 till probably a year and a half, and I didn't own one until very recently. So how about you guys, Liz?
.22 is like a toy gun. It's like shooting a BB gun. It's, yeah. No, I started, I think Armin started me with the 9mm also, a 45. But I have to say my favorite is the AR. I love that. And the 300 blackout. things that I thought I would never. Yeah,
300 blackouts.
Yeah, and I don't know. I do like it, and I feel there's less of a recoil than with the guns.
AR is very popular with a lot of women.
I love it.
Yeah, due to the recoil really isn't that bad on it. People often look at it and they'll think to themselves, "Oh my gosh, that's so big, I can't shoot that." We've talked about this before on the show, Anthony, and then they shoot it and they're like, they think it's just awesome. And I'll give a little plug for Armand here. We're creating our SAW logo rifle.
Nice.
Yes,
nice.
It's now available. You can email me or message me on Facebook or Armand for more information about it.
Armsco Weaponry, yes. ARMSCO.
And soon you'll be able to visit Armand in his new location, I believe, too, right?
Yes, hopefully we're working on getting on at 394 Union Boulevard, awesome. Right across from Murph's in Tolliver.
It's right up the street.
Oh, very nice.
So right up the street, yes. So that would be great.
So how about you, Amy?
Well, my first gun was a 22. And I hated it.
Did you have the mosquito? Was it the mosquito?
Yes.
Yes.
I
understand why you didn't like it.
I hated it. It was horrible. It was pink.
Did it jam all the time?
Yeah.
Did it jam all the time?
Constantly.
Oh, I hate that gun.
Yes. That thing was horrible. Horrible.
Now, talk about giving a female a bad experience.
Oh, yeah.
Have her go in the range and have a gun that is constantly jamming. You're going to get them frustrated. Right. And if it's your significant other and not a stranger, see if it's an instructor. Liz and Amy would bear with me as an instructor for an hour. Their significant other, after the third jam, they're like, I'm done with this shit.
Dude, I'm telling you. That's exactly what happened with my wife. And I have a Ruger Mark IV that absolutely does not eat anything except for cheap shit blazer 22s. And I gave it to her, and man, stovepipe jam after stovepipe jam after stovepipe jam. And she's like, take this piece of crap. I want to go home now.
Yeah. And you know, we get people for such sometimes a short period of time when they're coming to a meetup and they've never fired a gun before, and they've gone through the effort of showing up, whatever fear that someone might have had. They broke through it, they showed up, they're there to shoot, and you just really want them to have a really positive experience for that short, you know, that short 15 minutes or whatever that they have with you in the port. You don't want those jams to happen. And also, you know, I think that they come away with a lot more when they feel that nine and they say, you know, this is awesome.
Right.
You know, then who knows if they'll ever come back.
I liked when you had the women come that were against guns, and we brought them all in, and we had them all. I think we got... I brought, like, how many, like 15, 14 people, like that.
That's great.
It was great, and maybe five out of them.
You've brought a lot of new people shooting. Mm-hmm. So what's your preferred gun, Amy? What do you like to shoot the most? What's your go-to gun?
My go-to is probably my Glock 23.
Glock 23. Now you're a modern woman. You don't rely on Matt for everything. You can disassemble it and clean it and a whole bit?
Yes.
Okay, you're very mechanical. Liz, what about you? No.
In fact, I was going to say, not at all.
No.
She drops hers off across the hallway at the gun cleaning room.
This is how Liz cleans her guns. Armand cleans.
Yes. Okay. What I was going to say is, okay, so you learn how to shoot, and that's great, and it's empowered, but I do want to learn how to clean it, and if there is a jam, how to fix it. Because if you are home by yourself, and God forbid there is, you know, a break-in and the gun jams, well, then what? I want to know how to.
We're running an awesome class at Easton on September 18th with Sandy. That is just going to be more of that stuff, how to use a holster for people that are new, a little move and shoot, and some of that clearing of jams and reloads and things like that.
I'm going to that.
Yes, you are.
Now, Liz is a different generation than Amy in this room.
Liz is
from the generation where you know, the husband took the car for an oil change, and Amy's from the generation where she drops the car off for an oil change or does it herself.
I do it myself.
Yeah, no. See, now, Liz, you're going to have, and which is good, because we want to have that whole cross-section represented. Liz, I'm giving you a homework assignment. You're not allowed back on the radio show, and I'll have you back on with your husband, and he can pitch his business, but your homework assignment is going to be within the next few months. You got to come in here. Your favorite gun, I want you to be able to disassemble it, field strip it, clean it, reassemble it, and handle any kind of jam or anything. So that's your homework. Ooh, wow. When you're prepared, a month or two or three from now, spend time with the SAW group. When you're ready for that, you're going to email me, and I'll have you back on the show, and we'll have you on with what's his name?
Anthony, I accept that challenge.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear. Because you can't rely. He's not home all the time.
No, I know.
Something's going to happen. Yes. You should be able to field strip it and reassemble it.
I agree.
Yeah. So, Sherry, what else is going on besides Easton? Ladies, please jump in and talk. Wait, Amy, what's the next gun you're going to buy? What's on your list?
I want a 9mm.
Yeah?
That's my next
one. Okay, but you don't know what?
Well, no.
So just keep trying them. That's the other thing. When the saw group meets with the ladies, you all have all your guns here. Everybody brings an assortment. And then we have rentals here to fill in that void if you don't have something.
That's right. Your rentals are always free for us with our purchase of the range ammo. But usually everyone brings something different. So there's always something to try. People are very, I mean, you guys know people are very comfortable sharing with everybody and letting people try different things. That's how I chose some of the firearms that I purchased. I tried some different things at the events and decided which one was the one I really wanted to get. Because, you know, there's no returns.
You know, I had Chasey New Jersey came here yesterday. Diana Blass, totally afraid of guns, grew up in Long Island. Cy took her in the range, spent about an hour with her, shot an AR and a Glock. If you watch the Chasing News feed, and we'll post it when it's up on YouTube, she walked out of here. She's like, how much is membership here? And then True TV shot a documentary here last night on concealed carry lifestyle. And the woman, Megan, never shot a gun before. Producer was Meredith. The talent was Megan. She interviewed me, and then she shot a gun for the first time. Got a bullseye on her third shot. She said guns are not for her, but she has a newfound appreciation of it from a woman's perspective. And I explained to her that we have the SAW group here, and I explained to her how colorblind shooting is, how you'll let anybody try your gun, but you wouldn't give them 25 cents if they asked you for it out on the street. You know, I use that analogy all the time.
Very true, yeah.
And, you know, like your husband comes, he brings his guns. Even before he started Arms Co., he was one of those guys. And we've all been those guys and girls. And that's what I love about our fraternity. And non-gun people don't understand that. Go ahead, Amy.
The women who didn't prefer shooting guns, they did say to me, I really appreciate, after you showed them and how safe it is, and they felt the empower of
the
having one,
is cool.
They did say they appreciate it now. They were so brainwashed that they thought it was so bad and so evil.
Mm.
And
right.
I got like three women who actually now want to go purchase. So that's really great.
That is great.
It's better than nothing.
And that's a win,
you know?
Too. Even if they don't purchase something. Like, I've had people come and shoot with me, and they've after they've fired the gun, they say, you know, this isn't for me, like you said, but they have a new, for you, you know, I'm okay with it. Mm. So even that's a win for us.
All of us in this room as gun people and Second Amendment advocates, I talk about this all the time. This range is meticulous, female-friendly. Well, the people that come in at rent, even if they leave neutral to our cause, that's a win because we've managed to dispel that negativity that we all look like hillbillies and we're sexist. Seriously, Amy, absolutely. You ever feel uncomfortable in here?
Never.
You ever feel uncomfortable
in here? No. In fact, when I first walked in here, I was shocked at the amount of women that were in here. Mm-hmm. I could not believe that.
I love the diversity in here.
Yes.
Yes.
That I absolutely love. I love it. I think it's fantastic. And the second I walked in here, it was like, I'm home. And everybody, they don't know you, and you feel like they've known you your whole life. I love that.
It's and like I just want to say, you really brought that to New Jersey, I think, for myself. Because I was shooting before this new range was open. And it's just, if you were shooting back then when I started, it's just a world of difference. You just don't know what, you know, I mean, it's great. Not that you didn't have a great place there, but.
I've had women tell me, I'm like, so was everything, what you expected? And they're like, well, you weren't as fat as I thought you would be. You didn't have a bushy beard. You weren't wearing camo. And again, that's 40 years of the media brainwashing the public that all of us, I have my Bible in my hand. And last night, these were all, you know what I want to ask you, Sandy? You've been in media and stuff for a while. Why does every film crew from sound, why do they all look like hobos?
Because they are, dude.
They were walking around and they were talking amongst themselves, and they saw, you know, we have like people from India and Chinese and black and Korean and white, and then one of the guys says to the girl, the camera goes like, there was Hasidic Jews here. Like Hasidic Jews are not allowed to shoot guns.
Yeah.
You know, it's taboo.
They'd be so surprised when I told a group of my friends about the Hasidic Jews shooting here. They were like, really? I'm like, yeah. And they just find it amazing.
And I can't understand why, though.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I mean, everybody wants to protect themselves.
Right, sure.
Yeah. And have fun.
These people have been to Israel.
Yeah.
But again, I refer back to when I went to the NRA convention in Louisville, Kentucky. The media outside waited for the specific persons to walk by with the kill 'em all, let God sort them shirt, summer teeth, full beard, you know, some over here, some over there.
As a producer, that's
and
what I'm
looking
for.
And they would let Liz, Amy, and Sherry walk right by. They're like, oh no.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that. No.
That's not what we're looking for.
It's got to fill the narrative.
That's too normal.
Correct.
Coming back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
This segment is brought to you by me. How was that? Good?
That was good.
That was good. Yeah.
That was lovely.
So, Sandy always talks, Amy, about each one, reach one. So, you're doing the same thing we do. You're working it all day, just like Sherry and Liz. You're talking about, you're sharing your enthusiasm, and you bring people. I've seen you bring a lot of people here, a lot of people of color. I don't think I've ever seen you bring a male in? Here, though. Have you?
No, I have not.
Well, that's okay. But that's okay.
Do you bring people in from your shop?
No, but I have a couple of times. I actually have one woman that does seem to be pretty interested. She told me she's terrified to shoot. Oh. Terrified. And I said, well, why are you so scared? Is it just because you never had one in your hand or nobody's taught you? And all of the above, yes. And I'm like, well, and I explained about the SAW group. And I said, there's people here who will help you and you could try them out. And it's the safest place you're going to be. And so she seems really interested, and I'm hoping to get her in.
Oh, great.
You know what else the SOAR group is good for and the women thing is? Because the last thing a woman wants is guys to judge them.
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I feeling that from you guys? You don't want six guys telling you, don't worry, Liz, you're going to be fine. Try this. Oh, look, the wussy woman couldn't handle it, and she's leaving now. Like, that's their perception. But coming into with the SOAR group, if you're in a room full of women, and your SOAR group is pretty diverse, too. There's, from 6 years old to, what's Bernadette, about 106 now? I hope you're listening, Bernadette, for not being on the show today.
We love you, Bernadette.
What about you, Liz? How many? Are you out espousing it as well now that you've come on board and you want a gun to carry?
Yes, I do. And then I say to myself, wow. This is really me saying this. Five years ago, I would have never said that. But yes, no, definitely. And I've also brought a few people in and a few other friends that we're talking to that want to also come in and learn how to shoot.
I've seen you bring people here with your husband as couples.
Oh, there was a couple about a month ago.
See, I pay attention.
She was shaking. I won't mention her name. She had never shot before.
Okay.
She actually was shaking. I looked at Armin. I said, I don't think so. I don't think this is going to work. She loved it. She walked out of here, and she loved it. And I really thought that
it wasn't going to go that way from
the
beginning.
Did you know, for you guys listening and ladies, it's okay to be nervous because guns are dangerous.
Yes.
The reason why men have accidents with guns is because they don't treat them that way.
Dangerous, right?
Okay? Women are like, wait a minute, this shit is serious.
Right.
Me or someone else can get hurt, so I better do it the right way. Mm-hmm. Guys are like, yeah, my brother-in-law's next door neighbor's a cop, and I'm good.
You know,
yeah, just hand
this.
Me that thing, yeah, you know, right? Or I watch the YouTube video, or I play Call of Duty. Go ahead, Sherry.
No, I was going to say when women come for the first time, you know, we take a few minutes before we go in the range to talk about some safety rules and also to discuss that there's a normal amount of anxiety that you can have before you shoot
normal.
For the first time. Normal. Completely
yes.
normal.
Right.
And just to make people feel okay. Like, not everybody just walks in, strolls right into the range, picks up the biggest gun, and starts shooting it. That's okay to be a little bit nervous.
I tell people, I compare the analogy, I tell them, listen, if you were going skydiving, when you walk into the range, that's how you're feeling when you're at the threshold of the door of the plane.
Right.
That's what I tell people all the time.
Right.
That you, like,
you're
for 6 months, you've been ready to do this,
right.
and now we're going to do it, okay?
Yeah.
And it's okay to feel that way in a range, and then you prepare them for the concussion. Mm-hmm. They're not used to it. You know, the first time, she has a concussion. Because what you'll notice is the first 2 minutes in the range, every time a gun goes off, you see them flinching. 15 minutes later, they're numb to it now. Am I right?
Yes, and sometimes you need to actually separate women from the man that brought them here. I've had to do that a couple of times where
the macho man.
Yes, where I've just had to kind of. It's kind of like teaching your spouse how to drive, I guess.
That's not working.
Sometimes you have to separate them, and it might not even be a man that came with them. I mean, we had one time a woman that came with a good friend of hers who was a shooter, and her son was 10, and he was also a shooter. And just the pressure, I could see the pressure that was on her. She just couldn't do it. So I had to actually physically remove her from the 25-yard range, bring her into the 50-yard range alone with, you know, some excuses. This is why I'm doing this. And she was fine. She shot once. The pressure was completely gone from the outside pressure to do it.
You know, I have to relate a story. I probably shouldn't, but this past week.
Does this include Diane?
No.
Oh, good.
At a trap range. I was shooting at a trap range, and there's a group of people who come, I guess from a company, and one of the people who come is the wife of the owner, I'm guessing, of this little company. And the gun, apparently, that the husband, you can tell he's the alpha dog of the entire group, right? And he'll sit and ridicule even the guys who are shooting, which you see happen all the time, all right? But here's his wife who was shooting trap really for the first time. The bead on the end of the shotgun apparently was loose. I catch out of the left side of my eye, every time she loads the shotgun, she's reaching down to the bead, adjusting the bead. I can't see really what she's doing. All I see is her putting her hand over the muzzle of the shotgun with her finger on the trigger.
Oh.
Now, I'm not pulling trap. I'm just standing there. I call a ceasefire. And now everybody goes a little berserk. And I'm saying, why are you putting your hand over the muzzle of the shotgun? Oh, well, the bead is loose, and I'm waiting for my husband to fix it. Are you kidding me? Well,
wow.
He got pissed off.
At you.
At me.
Yeah.
He's like, it's absolutely fine. There's nothing. And he says to her, honey, just load the shotgun after you fix the bead. And I said, give me a pair of pliers. I'll rip the friggin' bead off the shotgun. You don't need the bead on the front when you're shooting trap. But this, I can understand the person that you're talking to. Now, interestingly enough, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week, she didn't show up. And how sad is that?
It is very sad.
And dangerous.
And dangerous, yeah. I mean, but to allow your wife to continue to put her hand over the muzzle of a shotgun, I said, that's a perfect way to lose. Oh, nothing's going to happen. She doesn't have the action closed. Yes, she does, I said. She's got the action closed, and if she didn't have the action closed, it still wouldn't matter.
That's reckless, really.
And absolutely.
Him having a fit with her there, she's embarrassed.
Yeah.
I've been teaching for almost 30 years, and I use the analogy when I used to make instructors all the time. I would get a guy call me up. Hi, I want you to teach my wife, Liz, how to shoot a gun. I took her shooting, but she's got a really bad flinch, and she's afraid of the gun. No problem, sir. What'd you have her shoot? Oh, my 6-inch 44 Magnum. Great.
Yeah, that'll work.
Now, there were guys that would do that so that their significant other wouldn't want to get involved in their sport. So now we scared the crap out of Liz, and she's like, I'll never do that again. Okay?
Yeah.
Guys with motorcycles have a trick like that. You get your wife or girlfriend all the safety gear, all the leather, full face helmet. You take her for a ride, stop and go traffic when it's 105, and she'll never go riding with you again. And it's a solo hobby. It's the same thing with the guns. And a lot of guys would do that. And some guys would do it on purpose, but a lot of guys would do it because it's that macho thing. I want to show off, like I have a Ferrari or a Maserati. Come on, Liz, I'm going to show you. Look at this. This is the most powerful handgun in the world, and I want you 107 pounds to shoot it.
Thank you. You've
never shot before.
Right.
Right? Well, I got you on the generation thing before, but I just got you back with the weight.
Thank you.
Amy, feel better.
Thank you.
Liz, you have the challenge, right?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay. Sherry, what's coming up with Salt Group?
We have the meetup here on September 20th. We have a kids event in Garden State Shooting Center on October 30th.
Great guys down there.
We have a basic pistol you guys are doing for us on November 7th. An instructor pistol class on November 6th.
November's going to be great.
Yep. And buying a gun in New Jersey September 14th.
So, what's the website? You never plug if your own website.
It's SAWshootingClub.com.
SAWshootingClub.com. And it's, what is it on Facebook?
It's also Saw Shooting Club. Second Amendment Women's Shooting
just
Club.
Just want to make sure.
You can get it from the homepage.
Now, you heard that?
Ask me to remember.
Guys, the holidays are coming. 17 more Fridays till Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Nice. Stop.
Which means 13 more Fridays till Thanksgiving. Listen to me right now. Saw membership would make a great gift.
Only $25.
Only $25. Okay.
That's a wonderful
what a marketer gift. She is. Only $25. Listen, Napin will be here October 14th for his live action seminar. Use of force, quick clot, holster draw, urban carbine, urban pistol, urban shotgun, active shooter seminar, and a Tenzia pen will all be at the Woodland Park Range. As Sandy would say, each one reach one. Amy is a member here. When she brings a new shooter in, when Armand and Liz bring a new shooter in, they get those poker chips. Gonna need them with the grand opening, I'm telling you right now. Matt and Armand, I hope you're having fun in the VIP lounge, and I hope Winston bit both of you. I'm done.
You've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a kind of think media production. The music used in the broadcast is managed by who, Winston? That's right, Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the License to Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. Thank you, folks, for being here.
Thank
we love you,
you
guys.
Thank
See you next week.
Thank you. From sea to the shine.